This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS Network and also eSETI Stargate on YouTube. And there you can actually interact with the guests and whoever else is online too as well. So it's one big happy family over there. Be sure and check that out. And I definitely want to say happy Valentine's Day to everybody. I know this is going to air Saturday, but we're actually recording it on Friday, which is Valentine's Day. So I hope you all got your Valentine's gifts and cards and presents and everything else, even though if you knew the real story behind St. Valentine's Day, you probably wouldn't celebrate it. So it's a pretty heavy-duty story. You know, it's about a lot of monks, I guess. Actually, they're priests that got their heads cut off because of certain issues. St. Valentine's actually was preaching, you know, a lot about Jesus, and Jesus is the path and the way and all that stuff. And I guess the Romans got a little pissed off with that. So they turn him over to the, I think it's I can't remember the name. It's almost like artisans or something like that. These guys, they're the elite at the time. I probably got the name wrong, but anyway, they turn him over to them, and they said, well, if you can heal, you know, my son or my daughter. So there's two or three St. Valentines. And I know two of the stories were identical, and there were two different people. And one healed this elite guy's son, you know, of blindness. The other one healed a girl. And so their words started getting out a little too quick, and then they hacked their heads off. So it wasn't a good idea. And then you got the St. Valentine's Day Massacre and a few other things, but anyway, it's you know, it's the Hallmark version is not really what really happened, but I think it's great that everybody's kind of expressing their love for each other, and so, you know, I'm not too hung up on that stuff. I'm not, you know, if people are doing good during that day, great. That's where I'm at with it. So we've got a great guest. We've got Peter Maxwell Slattery, and he's got 5 books out. He's done all of our documentaries here and several other documentaries that. We've got eSETI Down Under, Contact Has Begun 2, and also The Uncontrolled Narrative, which I really suggest everybody watch, because there's been a lot of nonsense out there about how we don't recognize women here at eSETI. And throughout that whole documentary, we talk about how women have been pushed out of ufology and other venues. And you know, we ask the question, why? You know, again and again. So that's covered, and we've covered that constantly in our shows, and our conferences have always had a good balance of women, usually more women than men. So anyway, there's people that would really like to shut this place down, and I just said, well, you know, you're saying that we're anti-women, and you're going to shut down the one of the very few places where women have a total platform here, you know, an equal say in everything. It's, you know, it's crazy making out there, but there's been a lot about that. It's end time madness we're going into, and people are just flipping out. And there's other agendas behind that. So I cover this in the latest newsletter. So when the newsletter comes out, be sure and check it out. Check out the latest newsletter. And if you want to find out more about all the nonsense going on, but we did cover it. We had to cover it because there's so many people sending me emails and texts and everything saying, I can't believe what these people are saying. And I said, well, and I ignored it for quite a long time, but finally we're addressing it. And what's really interesting is that when you stand up to these people, they become victims and they start crying and whining. And why, you know, why did they do such a thing? You know, and they slander you they slander you over and over and over and over again. And then finally you call them out on it. And then they go, how dare you? How dare you? And look what you said to me. I can't believe you said that about me. And then they go, I'm going to sue. And you go, wait a second. I just repeated what you said and addressed it, you know? So anyway, that's covered in the latest newsletter. Be sure and check that out. I don't want to give that a lot of energy. I want to welcome our guests, but we've got Peter Maxwell Slattery here on the show. So Peter, are you with us?
Yeah, mate. Thank you for having me on today. It's good to catch up and connect.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much to talk about. I don't even know where to start, but I know the trip. I guess we can cover the trip that we all went on down there, the Disclosure Down Under gathering. And I'd like to get your take on what you felt was accomplished there during that gathering of some very brave souls, you might say, that brought a message right to the heart of the beast there.
I think it was just great from the point of view that, you know, we were able to bring international speakers over like yourself and actually give people a chance to see these people in person. And that's what I'm going to continue to do as well with the team that I'm working with. There was a bit of backlash because we had no women speakers, and it was just hard with the circumstances and timing that we had. But as you know, even with the old show that I used to have, the Peter Maxwell Slattery Show, I've had a lot of women on. You've had many women on the show, and also giving them a platform for speaking at the ranch to help people get out. So what I'm wanting to achieve eventually is something every weekend, whether it's a workshop or events, doing what you do there, but doing it pretty much throughout the whole year because the weather's a lot different. But it was a good start to bringing people to the country to see them firsthand rather than just seeing them on a screen like this. They actually got to see you, Edge of Wonder, Jordan Sather, John Vivanco, and actually got to hear some stuff that they may have not heard otherwise from those presentations. So the workshop was great. We went to the Gosford Glitz. We took you guys around a lot of different places. John Vivanco actually stayed here for an extra week and got to see some amazing things with me as well, which we're hoping to share soon on a new TV series that we're bringing to Edge of Wonder, which is basically, I guess you could say, it's ghost hunters mixed with UFO hunters mixed with remote viewing, to where we go to the most haunted and active spots on the planet with any type of paranormal activity. And we knocked the first two episodes off here at Mount Buffalo in Melbourne, and we got daytime stuff, we got paranormal activity. It really seemed to pick up again once everyone left, in terms of just going back to my house area at around the Alpine District. And but with that said, we had a lot of beings come through, as you know, while doing the events and in person during the privacy back at our home that we're staying at, and sightings as well. I think it really shook up the energies, especially with the fires that were going on at the time.
That was interesting. A lot of people said, you know, I mean, I heard everything. I know that one thing they need to realize, that most people put on this thing were women, you know, that put on this event. But also too was the fires. People go, why aren't you doing anything about the fires? Why aren't you talking about the fires and doing anything about them? And they have no idea what we were doing with the fires. And we were syncing up with, I mean, we had Brendan Murray, the king of the Raven tribe, there with us, and all the other elders there gathered together and had gatherings to put out the fires. And also too, I thought it was interesting because the higher beings told me that the second day I was there, you know, that the rains would start and then they'd get stronger and stronger, and then eventually there'd be like deluges and things like that. And that's exactly what happened. You know, it's like, and we were doing our prayers and our meditations. We were doing our work, you know, with the fires and getting out the message too. So again, you know, it's like the same old thing, you know, no matter what you do, you go, you guys are just over there playing. I go, no, we were working, you know.
It was good. Like, I really enjoyed it. It's like when I'm at the ranch with you and we're doing inner sensitivity work and the clearings and what have you. But yeah, I'm doing that 3-4 hours a day at the moment since you guys are left back at the cabin. I'm in Melbourne at the moment at my partner's place. But it was really good. It was sometimes multiple times a day that yourself, and the boys and myself and even my partner or whoever was with us, we were really hooking into clearing and connecting with earth energies and the fire energies and just trying to clear that up. So I know that a lot of other people were working on that as well. And we've had massive storms in Sydney. We've had massive storms here in Melbourne the past 24 hours. It's been hectic. There's been storms on and off around the Alpine District, which I didn't know if my cabin was going to be there or not. It was in code red for maybe nearly 2 weeks. And when the day I got back with John Vivanco, the people in the area were telling me I was lucky I got there when I did, because apparently everything was covered in ash and the fire just got behind the hill behind my place. So it got pretty darn close, and everything I had was, or have, is in that area. I pretty much live out of a suitcase these days. I don't have much, but I was traveling light for the tour that we were on, but there was a massive storm just before John and I got there, and it cleaned everything. Like, apparently everything was covered in ash. So it just saved me, you know, borrowing a pressure washer and blasting everything down. But as we talked about, going back to, I think, October, when I had an experience with the ARC, they showed me a lot of these events, including, I said, the fires in Australia and California that were going to happen. Now, the ones in California were pretty bad but short-lived. And unfortunately, then the ones happened in Australia, which they're still, it's not bad now, but they're still sort of smothering out as well. So it's been, you know, now we've got the coronavirus and all this other stuff going on. It's pretty hectic.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people, they can't, they've been taking down a lot of these sites, you know, and we're making our own stuff. It's Gans water, and the Gans water, you know, Kesh was talking about this, and he just said this knocks it right out. But anytime you talk about these things, that you get taken down, you know, you get taken down. And I know they're taking down all the MMS sites, and they're taking down a lot of the sites. There's also Langenberg water, which is super oxygenated water, that also I have right here that I drink on a regular basis. And this stuff is amazing. It's got crystallized oxygen in it. It goes right after these bugs, but it doesn't matter if you're a virus or bacteria, it's going to pop it, you know, and put it back into crystalline form. But it's amazing that there's all these cures out there, and they're ignoring them completely, and they're going for this vaccine, and God knows what's in that vaccine. You know, I would, it's just like the polio vaccines, you know, they go and they vaccinate everybody, and they have 12 cases, and when they're done, they've got 45,000 cases, you know. So, you know, not a good idea, you know. So I don't know. I can't give any medical advice on here. I'll get in trouble if I say anything, but figure it out, you know. But
it's good water, that stuff. I won't say where they are, but I'm going into a certain place taking boxes when I'm running out of it.
Yeah, it's good stuff. It really does keep everything on par and keeps your health up. But yeah, it was pretty grueling. That trip for me, anyway, just with the plane ride and the drives and everything else, people don't realize it was pretty taxing. I mean, we had a good time anyway, all of us together, but it was pretty taxing. And then on top of that, a bunch of us got sick while we were there too, because of the plane ride. The planes are just, God, they're just a big petri dish, you know, getting on a plane now. But it's pretty crazy. But the overall, I would say, you know, I even wrote that in one of my last talks. I talked about how we're just sitting around telling bad jokes, just laughing our asses off at the dinner table. And we all hung out together, got to know each other. And it was just hilarious. You know, we had a good time. And during that time, everybody thought we were all plotting against all these people, and we were getting together like this big conspiracy thing to take out, I don't know, the people that are trying to take out everybody else. It's so ridiculous. I didn't want to go there this show, but you know, I told them, I said, no, I said, we're having a great time. We're just laughing, you know, telling bad jokes and hanging out basically. But you know, we did go to some pretty interesting places. I know we went to, the places where we held the events had kind of a history there, and the energy was very kind of heavy, you know, and some of the buildings had some weird stuff on them. And
when we got to the first venue, that was in Melbourne, Collingwood Town Hall. And shout out to Medi and AJ and the Itasta crew for all that they did. Everything, people think I've made a lot of money out of this and that. We've ended up on par. I had nothing to do with any of that, just getting the speakers there. But the first venue was trippy, and we pretty much had to grab what we could. Now, it was an okay venue. It was just really trippy that it was Illuminati based when we got there. Like, the king's there, like, man, look at that, and look at that, and look at that. And he's like, don't worry, we're going to clear this, you know, the next couple of days with what we're doing. You said the same, but it was pretty good. Like, it was blown out the amount of people that showed up, because I was outside and I didn't want to go back and try and get somebody to open up the back door. When I walked around the front, I'm like, I'm not going through there. The lineup went all around the building outside around the block, and I was like, damn. But yeah. It was a good facility, and it's just like the one in Sydney. That was apparently a Catholic casino facility, and I think we did the same there. I think we just knocked a lot of energy out of that place as well, and I think it was a good time had by all. It was very not stressful. It was just really busy for us, as you said, because it was the whole trip we had traveling or something going on. But they were pretty trippy venues.
Yeah, we had some pretty strange characters in the audience and up on the balcony there doing some crazy stuff and some kind of reptilian overseers. That was funny. I goes, hey, let's go say hi to him like this, and everybody's going no like this. Remember, I don't know if you remember that. I walked up and sat right in front of him, said hi, hey, how you doing? I sat right in front of him, but it was kind of hilarious watching them kind of sink down and start shaking and then go sit down in a chair and then leave the building. You know, it was interesting watching that. It was kind of sad because some of them were outside crying because they were released from those energies around them. They got released, and all of a sudden they realized what had happened, and they're out just now. They're kind of fighting, trying to keep that stuff out. But anyway, that's a whole nother story. That you tell stories like that, people think you're crackers. You know, you're gone. You know, but
yeah, if they haven't got a reference for it, they're not going to understand the multidimensional nature of it. But the Sydney workshop went good as well. That was hardcore. You know, John was there and gave people a go at remote viewing. You got some good results because I've been remote viewing for 10 years, but I was sort of helping John out, look at what people were getting. But you did pretty well. There was one of the targets was the Sydney Opera House, but what was being projected onto it was the bushfires and things of that nature, I think, to bring awareness to it and people's thoughts to go towards that. And didn't you get some amazing results with that?
Well, I drew the tower. I mean, I drew the Sydney, the Opera House, and the roof, how the roof is, and there's different layers and the, you know, the shape of it and everything. And then I drew water. It was on the water, you know, and there's a little boat out in the water. And then I drew something like, I drew a mountain with all this smoke coming off of it. And I couldn't figure out how they all tied together. And there's a few other things I drew on there. But you know, when I found out they were showing the fires, the mountains on fire, projecting them onto the screen there at the Opera House, then I went, okay, now that it doesn't make sense when you're doing it. You target and you get more details, it comes out and you find out, you know, what it is. And the second one, I was in the bathroom, I overheard you guys talking about the target, so I had to take myself out of the picture. I should have gone down there and drew it and go, hey, look, you know. Yeah, but I wouldn't do that. That's not integrity.
But it goes to show, you know, we've talked in the past. You've done some channeled books, amazing books back in the 80s, I believe it was, and I've done some as well. And like you talked to me about it when you were probing me one day about it, going, how do I go about it? Like we talked about, you can't look at the information. You can't even read it as you're doing it. And so with remote viewing or channeling or whatever we do, it's just got to be done the first thing that comes to mind, no matter how weird, nonsensical, and just put it down. And that's what you did with the remote viewing. And the results were spot on. It's just trying to go into that no mind, which is God's mind, when doing that to where you actually get the results. So, it's pretty crazy how that works. And then we had that craft flyover as well.
Yeah, that was amazing. The everybody went running out there. It was right at the end of my class, wasn't it? Yeah, it was right at the end. When we're going out and they're making dinner out there and you know, that craft, everybody's trying to say that's a balloon or whatever. And I said, well, the first thing I did was I checked which way the wind was blowing, and the wind was blowing from behind the building and at an angle. And that thing, it came from behind the building, turned and went left across the wind pattern and didn't change trajectory at all. So that was the first thing I looked at, was the wind. The second thing, I watched it shapeshift into like a hexagon type thing, and then the balls and then the cross. You know, I saw it shapeshift into all those different things. And then, I just said, anybody who watched that could not explain it. Could not. Yeah. And they're trying to say it's a camera artifact and this and that. And I go, no, that's what our eyes were seeing.
And I filmed it for like, over a minute. Jason Gleaves, the image analysis expert, ex-UK Air Force Aerospace, he's done he's been doing analysis on my next book for the footage. He authenticated it. Talking to the people there too, I think from sort of like everyone's sort of point of view, that thing must have been the size of at least a car.
Yeah.
As well. So, you know, people are going to do what they may with it. But then I think it was the next day or the day after, we're in the backyard at the house we rented, and there was that craft I filmed for a couple of minutes. It was really hard to get. Everyone couldn't see it except, actually, you saw it. You're the only other person that saw it. But I got it on camera. Jordan and Edge are wondering, everyone was like, what the hell is he looking at? Because I'm, you know, trying to get everyone to see it, but the camera caught it. And, it was just one of those weird things. So it's, we had that stuff going on and some interactions as we went along with the trip up to Gosford Glyphs as well.
Yeah. I know we did a session and they told us to go out. It was in the afternoon. Remember that? And we went out there. And then those other two guys came up. They were meeting the Edge of Wonder Boys. And then all of a sudden, like pop, 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 it's all these white lights start going pop, pop, pop everywhere above the house. It was amazing. And I know Anita was seeing it, and I was seeing it. I think Sil too, and you were out there. And it was amazing, because those would be hard to get unless you had a wide angle and just film the whole sky, because they would pop here and then pop here and pop here, and they're just popping everywhere, these strange lights, you know. And then you filmed that other one too as well. So it was pretty busy.
It was a good time. It was a good time. What did you think about going back to the Gosford Glyphs?
Oh, that was a blast. I got a little clip I'm going to put out. It's really funny. You know that one where I was the Gosford guide and I was talking in that raspy voice? I've got all those clips together and I'm putting them out, and we're just doing a little editing on it, and I'll put it out. It's going to be kind of it'll tell the story, you know, but it's kind of
I'm telling the story. It was hard for me to be me during that because you're putting in character.
I know. I was surprised you held it together to tell the story, because I was laughing the whole time.
What about that bloody big gecko? I'm sure iguana. That massive one.
That thing was big. You know, I told the story. I twisted my ankle. I stepped on this rock and it rolled over into these leaves. I didn't see the hole, and my ankle got tweaked. And so I went and sat by the mother tree there, and I just said, "Hey, I could really use a little healing here." And so I was sitting on top of the tree, leaning up against the tree, putting my ankle right on the root, you know, and I said, you know, I don't need this. I'm giving this back to the earth, you know, and whatever. It was weird. I got like a spontaneous healing there. And all of a sudden I hear something behind me walking up, and I go, something's coming out of the bushes there, you know, behind me. And I finally turned around, and the thing's right next to me. He walked right up next to me, just sat there staring at me. It didn't go anywhere for quite a while. And then I filmed it as it walked off, you know. Are those the ones that hiss really loud? They sound like a tire just blew, or?
Oh, they, like the blue tongue lizard can do that. They can do it as well. There's like a few. There's not many that can do it, but if they've got a good enough size, and I think it's more to do with their throat, usually the ones with the big flappy skin, they sort of feel that up and do that. So
I know, I was thinking about going it. You know, because I used to catch lizards and stuff all the time when I was a kid and everything. And I was thinking about, maybe I could go grab this guy. You know, just, I was kind of, and then I go, nah, that would, they got huge claws. And
it was too big, that one.
He was too big. I would have paid for that one. So, but I wanted to kind of make him hiss, you know, to see if they could make that hiss noise. But I said, I'm not going to bother him. I'm just going to let him do his thing.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. And I'm going to grab him. I was going to grab a cracky mate. She's a beauty.
I don't know. You've got to have balls and know what you're doing with that stuff, because I've had mates pick up crocodiles, snakes, and I'm just like, yeah, it's just, that's what they do, and they respect the animal, but it's like just the average person. It's like me wanting to pick up a raccoon at your place. He's like, don't do it. I'm like, they look cute and cool, but he's like, don't do it.
No, you'll pay for that one. Exactly. We used to grab possums. You know, possums are really slow. The ones here are really ugly, not like the ones over in your place, but they're really slow. And you can grab them, but they growl. And they got some pretty nasty teeth on them, but they're pretty slow. You can grab them and just keep away from the business end, you know. But raccoons, but I'd never grab raccoon. They, they're pretty ornery.
But the possums are completely different, like you're saying. Like when I first saw a possum at your place, I'm like, what the hell is that thing? And you go, it's a possum. I'm like, that's not what a possum looks like. And then I did research, I'm like, they're all fat, teeth hanging out, and they're like white. Or what I saw was white over there. Our ones are,
yeah, and they smell bad. Smell really bad, and they're like, you know, it's funny, yeah, because I remember when we were there doing that sky watch, the last trip I was on, that one of those, one of the possums there came up, and I thought it was a cat, and I go, whose cat is this? And it came right up to my leg and was sniffing around and walking around me, and I was about ready to pet it, and then somebody told me it's a possum, you know, it's a possum, and it, and because it was kind of dark, you know, it was kind of dark out, but they're really cute. I mean, they're, I would love to have a pet possum from there, because they have bushy tails, and you know, they seem to be really cute. You know, everybody goes, oh, those are vermin, you know, but you know, the ones over here I think are vermin.
It was weird last night. We actually I was outside, we've had a lot of rain, but I'm at Anita's, sort of on the peripheral of the city of Melbourne, and there was a fox walking across the road last night. I'm like, that's a bit weird having a fox this far in with houses and that. So I just thought I'd mention that. I don't know why, but it was just really weird. Like, it just doesn't make sense. So, but where I am, John Babanco actually got to see, I think he filmed 6 or 7 kangaroos with me.
Oh, no.
Okay. Yeah. One of them was massive. One of them probably would have been my height or taller if it stood up. Like, if it was properly, it was sort of crouched down eating with his family. So I'm glad he got to see it, because I think he was maybe the only one out of everyone that had to see a kangaroo over here, because everyone thinks they're everywhere, but it's not so easy to see them.
No, it's the same thing up here. It's like, you know, people think the elk and the deer are everywhere. They are at the ranch. They come down every night and come right up to my front door and stare at it. It's kind of funny, but because we used to throw apples out for them and they come up, and we don't have any apples for them right now, but the it's just, yeah, people, you know, they watch these nature films and they think, oh, I'm going to go there and see that, you know, and I go, oh, it doesn't work that way. You know, they're not as abundant as you think they are.
No, it's crazy. It's like, I've been there when that deer came out of the car park, walked across your place, walked down the footpath that goes towards the Pleiadian Circle, turned off, and it walked the proper way you're meant to around the medicine wheel, and then just walked out, and it was like...
Yeah.
Was it even a deer? Like, that's my point with something like that. Or why did it do that path? It's like the path that I walk every morning when I go down there through it and then I walk around the field. I'm just like, that was highly intelligent, or just something else is going on there.
I've seen wolves here. That they do have wolves up in the area. And this one came down and was just sitting there in the field, just standing there staring at me. Same thing with the mountain lions. It's really weird. But this wolf was sitting there staring at the ranch, and for quite a while, and I was sitting there looking at him, like basically blinked and looked away, and I looked back and he was gone. You know, and I went, what the heck was that? You know, but, and the mountain lions, Giles was here when that happened. The mountain lions came and went over to his, they went up to his trailer, and I followed him, and I went and knocked on his trailer and said, I think you need to come back to the house, because they're here, they're really close by, you know, so.
But that's the weird thing there, isn't it? Like, you've only told me there's only been like a handful of encounters over the 30 plus years there, so it's pretty lucky that it's not like constant.
Yeah. Yeah, we've only had one problem here with a cougar, and unfortunately we had to take it out, but we didn't have any options because it killed 3 sheep in a row, and then it came after one of the people here, one of the workers here. So, good friend of mine. So, you know, we had to take it out basically. But that's about it in the 30-something years I've been here. We really haven't had any problem. And when you have a group here, when you have a bunch of people here, they stay away. You know, they don't come around.
The energy's good too. Has there been what's been happening at the ranch lately in terms of activity and contact, or what you guys are getting over there in terms of information? Much been happening?
Yeah, well, last night we went out and did some filming and got a bunch of ships and some weird ships that came in, and they were strobing, and all of a sudden when they got over us, they just did this massive strobe, like pulse really fast. Like, it was the weirdest thing. We got that on film. We got a couple others that came over, good sized ships that came over, just phased out right above us, powered up right over us and phased out. And that was just one night that we went out because, you know, it's been really cold. It's been raining just constantly here. It's been raining and no snow though. We don't have any snow on the ground here at all, which is, that never happens. But we just started to skywatch again and go out and film. And I filmed some a couple nights ago. I went out and there was some over the ranch. But when I got back from Mexico, we had those 31 ships come over, like right over the house. And there's more than that. I filmed 31 of them, but there's more, like there's at least three or four others I didn't film. You know, I missed a few, but I just talked about the ones I got on film. But it's busy. The energy's been intense. We're getting the wispies like you get there, and we're getting flashing lights and orbs and all that stuff going on.
Oh, that's good. That's good. It's always something going on there at the ranch. Anyway, it's been pretty active here. Like, I've been doing a lot of work, so I haven't been getting out much. I'm sort of cooped up in the cabin most of the time. I've got the new book coming out, which is actually my first original two books on my experiences, and that's got a foreword with Jason Gleaves, the image analysis expert, ex-UK Air Force Aerospace, and then he's gone through the imagery. So I've been doing that. I've been a lot of consultations and readings that I've been doing, and then also episodes for Edge of Wonder, and we've got projects coming up as well. But when I do get the downtime, there's been two physical interactions with Shiji the last couple of months, and then I've had a couple of other beings come through. It was funny. I think it was last weekend, Anita and I were out the front of the cabin, and I left the camera there. I bought this brand new Sony A7S II camera, which is, I think, the world's best low light camera, apparently. And I've started using that for filming crafts. We had these beings walking near us in shadow form. They weren't fully materialized, nothing negative, but they were just popping through. I've seen them around there up to about 15 feet walking past buildings.
Yeah.
We're in the middle of nowhere, as you know, where the cabin is. And it's been okay, but there's I think things are going to get ramped up soon. A lot of the stuff that the ARC told me, the Elohim Representative Council, a lot of that seems to be coming into fruition, which I didn't want to, meaning some of these earth changes and social, economic things and political things. But, yeah, I think we're going to see things sort of taking another head on in the next couple of months as well. So it's just interesting to see what people are getting. We get these patterns of things building up and dying down. But I think when we're doing a lot of work like you and I do, it sort of just comes in waves, and we keep busy with the work we've got to do in the meantime.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen, you know, I can only call it end time madness. A while back, we had that full moon. And then we had the past two full moons were just intense. And there's these big energy waves that went through. The Schumann resonance was off the scale. And man, it brought everybody's stuff up. And I know when we were there, one of those big waves went through while we were there in Australia as well. But, you know, I've just been seeing, you know, the people that don't have the basics down, a basic foundation where they take personal responsibility and own their attitudes and emotions and go within and heal it, they're not faring very well. And there's a lot of people that are projecting and blaming and putting all their issues out on somebody else. You know, people they don't even know, haven't even met, they're just running on gossip and stuff like that. That's just gone rampant right now. And it's just off the scale. And I always try to remind people, well, you know, do you have any firsthand knowledge? No. You know, have you met this person? No. Have you done your own investigation? No. You know, have you, it's like, have they done anything to you personally? No. You know, and I just said, so where are you coming from? You know, and you can always ask those questions and they'll come up with that. But, you know, like we were saying before, there is just a lot of jealousy, and there's a lot of shills and a lot of people that have sold out in the UFO community. And now it's all coming to a head because it's being exposed. And we're seeing a lot of that now coming out. And I tell people, just go look up the Rockefeller Initiative and go from there. see who's on that and see if these same guys are financing the other guys out there, and just follow the money and follow the dots, you know, connect the dots, and you'll see the controlled narrative exactly how it's being played out.
It's a really hard situation, James. Like, you know, you're being like a father figure to me, my best friend, my brother, you know, and seeing what's going on. And I think I'm somebody that stays out of a lot of things, and because I just keep, like to focus on the work. But what I'm seeing, I've got to say, for us as a collective, is people, now it's not about ETs, like ETs, now that we're talking about billions of civilizations within this galaxy alone and the many dimensions. Yes, there are ETs, and James and I interact with them. With that said, this is such a small part of what's out there in terms of life forms. I talk about the geometric light realms and these angelic kingdoms or the many mansions. Yeah. It's not to bring religion into it. It's just what I started to experience. But people wonder why they're not getting the contact that you and I have and many others. It's not just me and James. There is millions of people experiencing this. And I think it comes down to, look at what's going on, how we treat each other, the gossip that goes on, the artificial life that a lot of people are living, and it's not putting people down. I use social media to get the work out. I don't focus on it. I'm not looking at it a lot. And a lot of people are focusing on gossip and externalization and then putting people down. And I think we need to get back to, one, self-responsibility, two, of being here in the present. And a lot of people are either in the past about something or they're in the future or they don't know the facts. And it can be very damaging for them energetically of their soul journey when they're not focused on what they should be focused on. And one thing that I don't like to be a part of, and it's been happening to me for 10 years since I've been in this community, is that I've been entertainment like you. I hate people using a public format for entertainment to put others down when people don't know the facts. And I'm all about the mission. I just want to get my mission done. Of course, there are adversaries and people that are on the opposite side. This is just general. And you and I know I've been shot at. You've had things happen to you as well. We've had campaigns on us. But this is part of the awakening and healing process and things coming to the surface of the darkness. And so the darkness has its purpose of us being able to shine the light within that, and it gets attracted to the light. And it's also another aspect, another facet of source, that this darkness, the AI, the Archon network, the lower light, it was put in place to evolve our consciousness to where it doesn't affect us. So I think it's been hard seeing a lot of people put their time into negative things when I know the potential humanity has got.
Yeah.
Abilities I have and others like yourself and John Vivanco and others, these abilities are amazing. This is just what I see from us doing the inner work and the self-mastery. And I'm like, if just people focused on themselves first and then we worked as a collective, people will start to see what we're seeing and interacting with it. And that's why they're not. People go, why aren't we interacting with ETs? It's because of the way we treat each other.
Yeah.
They butt ahead with them. And I think, I know how big and beautiful humanity really is, and I just really hope that not just this community, because I really don't want anything to do with the UFO spiritual community. I'd rather focus on consciousness because that's what it all leads to. But yeah, it's just hard to see what's going on and why it's going on. We really haven't developed any more since the 1960s from the projects like Project Blue Book and things of that nature. Jack Vallée, Alan Hynek, they did great work, but when we look at it, the theories and ideas from then still stand today. There's been no involvement because people experiencing the phenomena.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's sad because I always tell people, you know, if you really think about your life, you're spending all your life, you know, probably in a basement on a computer, throwing dirt out on people and everything else. I mean, what kind of a life is that? You know, it's not. And how evolved is that? I mean, to me, you know, I always tell people, they said, you should go after this guy, you should go after this guy. And I go, well, they've already gone after themselves. You know, I don't have to do anything. I actually feel sorry for them because first of all, they're not going to have access to the higher dimensions and planes and things like that, which are totally awesome. And second of all, that frequency that they're holding has consequences to it, and sometimes physical consequences as well, or reactions to their actions. And so, you know, I always tell people, you know, I said, I don't worry about myself. You know, I really don't care about other people's opinions because I'm right with the source and the other dimensional beings. But, you know, and that's where I go to. I just go to them, you know, and if I'm off on something, you know, they'll let me know. They'll say, yeah, you went a little heavy on that one, you know, or you went a little here. You know, I'll get my, and I'll make whatever necessary changes. But as far as the human experience, it's very sad because we've gone through thousands of years of oppression and division and separation and division of the genders, division of cultures, wars with cultures, all that stuff has just been, it's cellular memory, and it's in this life as well, you know, childhood trauma and things like that. So, you know, they're working from that. They haven't cleared that out yet. And that's still working within them. And I understand that. And it can do a lot of damage when they project it out and blame everybody else, which is a lot of that going on. But, you know, I understand that at the core of their being is this loving, joyous, powerful, manifesting God or goddess. That's the core of their being with all these layers on it. And so they need to drop the layers. And you know, they need to let go of the need to be right, too. There's so many people that are holding on to this stuff because they have an opinion. That opinion may have nothing to do with reality, or it might be a very limited reality. And they're holding on to that opinion so hard, and they just need to be right. And, you know, you look at that and you just go, God, what if you just let go? You know, it's like the monkey with the hand in the monkey trap. You know, he's got the rice and he's trapped. All he has to do is just let go, and he's free, you know? And I go, what if we just let go of that and just move on, focus on ourselves, you know, our own healing.
I just want people to focus on love for themselves and in general, because everything else is a distraction moving them away from being happy. Doesn't anybody watching this or you or me, we just want to be happy. That's all we want. We just want to be happy. And I think just like I was saying before, I think a lot of this now is just turning into entertainment, and this is not entertainment. This is the most serious issue on the friggin' planet right now.
Yeah.
That's affecting us on a global scale. We've got epigenetics that have got to be cleared. I think the most powerful beings of all time have incarnated now to help with that process. And there is a lot of healing, forgiveness that needs to be done first for ourselves and others. But I think people need to get back to, how is this helping or bettering my life? That's what it comes down to. It's negativity, it's just drawing more of that energy. And when we want to draw abundance, happiness and health into our life, we need to be more pointed with our thoughts towards that direction rather than pulling people down to our level. We've got something here in Australia called the tall poppy syndrome, which you've experienced, you know.
Yeah.
And this is where, this is why I love America so much. And it's not putting down my own country either. I think that term may have come from Britain. But what I love about America, predominantly anyway, is when people are doing good, it could be in music or acting or the spiritual community or football or what have you, they embrace that person and they're like, good on you, mate. You know, keep doing what you're doing, and the community gets behind them. But then what we see here in Australia a lot of as well is the opposite, which is, they call it tall poppy because what happens is you rise above the people and then the people just want to cut you down and bring them back down to your level. There's no embracing and positive thoughts towards people. Not saying all Australians are like that, but that's what we need to change that on a massive level worldwide, because there is little pockets of it, yes, in America and elsewhere, but predominantly what I noticed about America was that was a beautiful thing, that everyone sort of embraces people that are good at what they do and uplift them. And so I think people just need to look at the basics of health, happiness and well-being and following what they're passionate about. And from there, you know, of course people are going to use discernment. There are hoaxes and people that talk crap out there, and, you know, we've witnessed that. But people will undo themselves if that's the case as well. And so really I think at the moment the focus of the awakening healing of humanity and the earth, as you say many times over, is this is where our passions lie and our drive. And I think people need to respect that. And if they disagree, you know, the amount of hate mail that I get, even in the last people online trying to push me when I just check messages, I'm just like, where is the time that people have got for this? And, you know, it's just part of what it is. But I bring it back to the heart, bring it back to the intention of what I'm doing. And that's what I think we all should be doing.
Yeah, I agree. It's really interesting. I look at the evidence we've had, and we've been doing this for 30-something years here. And we have so much added. We have boxes and boxes. You've come here and filmed all kinds of UFOs and ships and everything.
I've gone through your boxes and boxes of material.
Yeah, I know.
Film back when it's to bloody VHS tapes or you've got all the old tapes.
Yeah, yeah. So it's. I mean, we've been doing it for so long. And you know, at what point, you know, you have that, you have the videos, you have the eyewitnesses, the photographs taken by the researchers and investigators, and then you've got the remote viewers come out here and totally validate everything I've been saying for 30 years, you know. And then it's funny, you get all that evidence, and we've got like triple PhD Boeing engineers, Lockheed Skunk Works engineers, NASA guys have come out here, and they testified on Coast to Coast and everything. And you have all that evidence, and it's all there. It's all over the internet. It's been all over for a long time. You still have those people saying, we're seeing nothing but bugs here. You know, I won't mention him, but he says, we're seeing bugs, you know, and we're seeing it. You go, God, what? And anybody in their right mind, after looking at all of that evidence, you know, especially with the remote viewers coming up with detailed information that I've been telling for a long time, having no access, you know, all they have is a number to go by. They have nothing else to, they don't even know what they're looking at. But when you have all that evidence and you even have the government charges show we're in this purple zone where it's a major magnetic anomaly, you know, all of that is there. But these people keep saying that we're hoaxing and things. And then Jason Gleaves goes and takes our photographs, and they're taken by Taoist monks. And with UFO investigators right along the side, looking at the camera, the timestamp, when they got the picture of Mary and some of the other masters appearing here. And, you know, you have all that. It doesn't matter. You know, that thing called cognitive dissonance. It doesn't matter how much evidence you lay out. There's always going to be those that will refuse to look at it. And there's a lot of people threatened by somebody that might have kind of a multidimensional mind that can understand the big picture. There's a lot of jealousy about that. And if you go past the controlled narrative where it's nuts and bolts and it's far away and Billy was feeding the pigs and he fell off the fence when he saw a UFO, you know, and so, you know, stories like that, that are 60 years old, you get outside that box, they come after you. But I think they're done. I think, you know, all the latest polls, everything, show that people aren't buying it anymore. And you look at the support behind what we're doing now. I mean, it's, you know, this, we have the cutting edge stuff, and we have the cutting edge information, the video, the photographs, the knowledge, everything. So eventually, as like this German physicist I work with, he says, everything comes from one point. And he says, be the point, you know, and we are the point. We're the point, and everybody's going to dance around and do their controlled narratives and entertainment shows and everything else, but they're not covering they don't have that knowledge. And eventually people are going to get tired of that, and they're going to say, we want to go back to the point. You know, we want to find out what this is really about. Who are they? You know, what are their cultures like? What are their lifestyles like? Can they help us? You know, we're going to start answering those questions, and that's where we need to go.
I think it needs to come back to, like, I've got to give it up for the old school people, like going back to, you know, the 60s, 70s, when you had these journalists and investigators. What they used to do, people, was get in their friggin' car or a plane and fly and investigate. And now what we've got is armchair journalist or investigation, which is, a lot of it these days is copy and paste or hearsay, and it's not coming directly from the source. And I think that way, like, that is lazy for starters. I know that people can't afford to be going here and there, but if they could, that's what they should be doing, actually going in and investigating. And that's been a hard thing to see as well, because it's all based off hearsay or from a computer. And I know so many times I've been at the ranch and people have come up to me and gone, Pete, I thought these were satellites. I thought you and James were full of crap. And now seeing this, I don't know what to think. And This is not meaning people should not use discernment. Of course, some people are going to look at some of the stuff we're filming and go, satellites, this and that.
Yeah.
We use discernment. We use the trackers. We proved that with Ancient Aliens, unfortunately, which you weren't involved with. But you and I, when and where the crafts would appear, you've done that in the past with other television shows there, and they've filmed it as well. And given you a fair go as well, they've showed that nothing was on NASA or J-Tracker at the time. So it just gets frustrating sometimes that over 10 years for me personally now filming this phenomena, that people will put it down to either hoax or a satellite or a drone, and to think that if people knew me and knew the gear that I've got and that I've always got a camera on me and the work that I've done, I know what's what, and it took years and years and years and years of basically full-time working with these cameras to capture the phenomena. I'm not an expert, but I had to get like as well acquainted with the materials I could, meaning cameras, to be able to capture what I see on a daily basis, because there is a bit of an art to it, as you know, especially with cameras. So I think people just need to just reassess. You know, it's okay for people to have an opinion. It's okay for all of us not to agree. But unless they've got facts or they've been doing it from an armchair journalist point of view, it's just hearsay. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, like you're saying, you know, I tell people, look, we used to use J-Tracker. I don't know if that's even available anymore, but we use Heavens Above and the other tracking satellites.
I think Heavens Above and even spaceweather.com now have been entwined, don't quote me, I think with Heavens Above.
Yeah, and so we've been using that for years. We were using J-Tracker. And Heavens Above both. And so we check, we make sure these aren't satellites. I mean, stuff that we filmed when you were there are below treetop level, some treetop level, you can see them going behind the trees. And these guys are saying, you know, I have one at 1/3 treetop level. You know, it's like, you know, coming right at us on the mountain. And there's no strobes, no running lights, no sound, nothing, you know, these objects. And people are going, well, that's a satellite. And I go, well, you explained to me how a satellite is going to maintain trajectory and get over that mountain and continue on its course. I said that satellites I know aren't going at maybe, you know, 500 feet off the ground, you know, or some even lower. I said that they don't have satellites at 500. So that's a dismissal right there. And then these things are turning, powering up. They're not on the charts. It's just impossible for them to put them in that category. But there are people that are still trying to say that these are meteors and satellites. You know, meteors don't make turns. They don't stop. You know, they don't, meteors don't power up, you know, and when you ask them to, yeah, it's like pretty smart meteors.
But that's even okay. People are thinking that, like, that's where they're at. It's when people are nasty about it that's not okay. They're entitled to their opinion. But I think the problem with it too is that, and it's not really a problem majorly, but most people aren't going to get what you and I are saying until they understand that this is all about consciousness. It's not about ETs. They're the greater family of man that we're interacting with.
Yeah.
On the way who are sending and connecting the source. And these beings, whether they're in other dimensions and higher and more evolved, they are on that process. Unfortunately, it breaks people's paradigms and they need to go kicking and screaming until eventually their butt gets kicked to when they've got to go, all right, they see it from another angle or point of view.
Well, I have photographs of Khan, you know, one of the Taoist monks that was here, where he's doing his meditation, he just totally goes out of his body. They have pictures of me doing it too. You know, we're out of our body walking, you know, walking around. You can see right through us. And that's where it's at. And we know who's on the ships. You know, it's not, we know their names basically and where they're from and what group they're with and things like that. We've gone so far beyond that, but most people can't handle that, you know, because they don't have access to that kind of information. And that's understandable for them to be, you know, a little discerning. We think everybody should be discerning, but it's like, you know, don't attack somebody that can do it just because you can't, you know, just because you don't have access doesn't mean they don't. And, you know, when they respond over and over, they tell us ahead of time, like at Ancient Aliens, when we both said, hey, the ship's going to appear at this time, where it was, everything, then and they were putzing around with their other stuff, making sure I didn't get on the camera. you know, and they missed the whole thing and they never did see it. Because all of us, John, and all of us are screaming right there.
Nick saw it with us.
Yeah, Nick Pope saw it. Yeah, he saw it. But
that was the first anomalous thing he saw. Now, that night, we had the satellite tracker out and there was over 20 things that weren't on it. Now, that's not to say there was 20 UFOs. Well, actually, 20 UFOs, meaning we don't know what they were, but there was things that, for starters, you knew we're not going to rock up. I meditated that morning when they got there and I told them it was going to be a feline beam in an orb on the right side of the mountain. I believe what Nick saw with us, that was that being in that craft that communicated with me in the morning, and I think what you communicated with too. And then what I didn't know was John Vivanco, who remote viewed what we're going to capture. Now, there was the space station. We pointed that out first thing in the night. John even said that was a space station. You and I said it was a space station. But what's interesting is that John got a cat being in an orb. They didn't show that on the show. They showed more of an angelic light being.
Yeah.
But he also got a cat being connected to an orb, and it was pretty much around the same time that I think you and I predicted, which shows, if that was done in a full context, that that's too much for normal people to go, how the hell did they know when and where that was going to appear? Okay. And then they got it on camera. And like I said, multiple times, Nick Pope did, and Nick Pope acknowledged what we said as well, didn't make the final cut. You didn't make any cut of it. But
yeah.
I think it was great to have, I don't know if he was the former head of the Ministry of Defence in the UK. I know that he was like the X-Files dude there, but I remember meeting him there and I said, have you ever seen anything that you can't explain? And he goes, Pete, I believe this phenomenon is real after years and years of investigating it. But he goes, no, I haven't seen anything. And I said, you're going to see something tonight. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
And it would have been an amazing experience for him, because imagine going 20, 30, probably 30 plus years investigating this and not seeing the phenomena.
Yeah. And then coming here and seeing it.
Yeah, that would have been quite an amazing experience. And I know the camera crew and that were like, what the hell is going on? Because I know that the producer and that, he was skeptical of me going, you're going to see it tonight. And then they, at the end of it, they're like, I can't believe the activity that happened.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it happened. Hey, we're hitting the end of the hour. Unfortunately, we've got to sign off. But do you have anything upcoming that you want to announce, or?
Just for people to keep an eye out, I've got Ascension Teachings, which is a show that I'm going through a lot of material on Edge of Wonder. There's also another series coming out with John Vivanco on Edge of Wonder. There's also, I can't say which television station, but a mainstream television station here is about to do a short documentary on me that's probably going to go for about half an hour on TV. That I'll talk to you more about that. It looks like they'll do a decent job as well. So mainly I'm just finishing getting Awakening out, UFOs and Strange Happenings, which is a culmination of the first two books that I did on my experiences with Jason Glebe. And there's a lot of workshops and conferences coming up, predominantly at your place until we set up eSETI Australia, which we're pretty much, the countdown on the clock's almost there with that. So people should keep posted for that as well. And I just want to thank everyone for their comments and support over the last few months with everything that's going on. It's really appreciated.
Awesome. Unfortunately, folks, we've got to sign off anyway. So this is James Gunn with Edge Wish Talk Radio and eSETI Stargate on the YouTube channel. And Peter, keep up the great work and holding it together there. And I'm sure you'll be here before I'm over there, and then I'll be over there after that. But
yeah, definitely.
Can't wait to see you when you get here.
Yeah, love you, mate. And it's been good. And thank you for your support. And I'll be seeing you real soon, mate.
All right. Have a great evening, folks.